Welcome back to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. Still on the line from Belgium with me is Persephone. We're talking now about the situation in Detroit regarding water shutoffs and the United Nations getting involved to some extent in this. So the whole Black Helicopters chemtrail crowd should probably check out of this segment so they don't get too scared. But the situation in Detroit, as many people know, the city had tried to file for bankruptcy recently, in large part due to a messy series of debt deals organized by Wall Street bankers in the middle of last decade and the previous mayor, now in prison for something. So the city had tried to file for bankruptcy. The federal courts had been arguing over whether or not they could file for bankruptcy. And of course, it's important to note here before we get into this, the meat of this topic, that the city of Detroit has been under a so-called emergency manager outside of the control of the city government, the mayor and the city council and all of that. This emergency manager was appointed by the governor under the emergency manager's law. This is Governor Rick Snyder, who's on the ballot this year and was elected in 2010. This is a measure that has long been debated as to whether or not it's a constitutional setup under the Constitution and sort of just the general principles of representative democracy. But of course, there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution about how anyone sets up their governments below the level of the states. As long as you have a, quote, Republican form of government for your state government, then you're all set. This law, though, allowed the governor of Michigan to appoint an emergency manager for Detroit that overrules the city government, can renegotiate contracts and various things like that. And one of the things that this sort of emergency government has done is put pressure on the water authority to collect millions and millions of dollars in unpaid back fees for water access. Now, on the one hand, it's definitely very legitimate to bring up the fact that you've got a lot of these unpaid water bills, but the question is, how do you approach this and how do you prioritize these unpaid fees versus various other debt obligations and things like that? I would say that cutting off people's water supply for not paying is probably not my first go-to option. I would say maybe rethinking some of the obligations to these Wall Street financiers, various, incentives packages. This is a topic that's come up previously, I think, on Arsenal for Democracy. Regarding that PBS show that came under controversy, this idea that there's a lot of pressure to cut services to basic people or renegotiate union contracts and pension plans retroactively, rather than fixing some of the things that are going to affect a smaller number of wealthier people, rather than the people on the very bottom rung who can least afford physically and economically to be hit by these. So then what happened was that the water authority said they were going to start cutting off water for hundreds of thousands of people who hadn't paid. Sometimes they're renters who have paid, but their landlords then haven't paid. This announcement was made in March. So far, they've only cut off, quote unquote, only cut off about 4,500 people or so just in the last, month out of the, 100,000 or whatever that they said they were going to cut off. But this is still very troubling because these are the people who are the bottom of the bottom economic ladder in Detroit, the people who can absolutely least afford this. And they now have no water access in their residences, which is, that is kind of insane to contemplate that this is happening in a major city, once one of the greatest cities in the country, in the developed world. And so Detroit, being right near Ontario, Canada, this attracted the attention of some of the activists in Canada, human rights activists, and they, being the globally conscious citizens that they are, referred this to the United Nations Office for Human Rights and various things like that. And obviously, the United Nations takes flack sometimes for debating things like whether or not internet access and high-speed internet access is a universal human right. But I think everyone pretty much agrees that water is definitely a universal fundamental human right. So the United Nations did issue a criticism saying that this was happening. And the activists in Canada said, this doesn't seem to be something that's happening anywhere else in the world, at least in the developed world, where the government is intentionally cutting off the water supply to people. So Persephone, give me your thoughts on this situation.
Well, I certainly understand the difficulties posed by people not paying their water, but at the same time, everybody is pretty aware of the situation in Detroit right now. There's a lot of poverty, and cutting people off from water is not only is it cruel, it's also clearly not the best way to improve things in Detroit. And I think that I'm very, very glad that this has been brought to the UN's attention because it's humiliating for the United States. There should not be an issue, not be people who cannot afford water. There should not be people who are being denied access to water. So I think that is a very good approach, taking it up with the UN. And again, it's humiliating. I mean, the UN is sort of the US's baby in terms of the course of history. So it's kind of like, I think it's definitely the best approach to be taking. It's just sort of like, I think it's something that Americans don't necessarily understand is how poorly this reflects on our country when this kind of thing reaches the international level where people are aware in other countries.
Yeah, now I wanted to actually correct. There's been some kind of confusion over the numbers that I had cited earlier as to how many people have actually been cut off. One account by Congressman John Conyers, who is a Michigan congressman and the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, he said that they've been cutting off 3,000 customers per week. So there's some variability in the numbers in how fast this is happening and how widespread it is. But at the very least, we know that there are several thousand, possibly a lot more people without water right now. And as Persephone said, that's humiliating and embarrassing for the United States as a whole, not just for the people who are getting water cut off. Also, he says that the water rates have been going up 119% over the past decade. That's a pretty significant increase. Obviously, these water rates are probably, still not very high compared to places in the desert areas of the Southwest and the Mountain West, but this is an area that's not used to that. And also, this is a policy that's very heavily affecting the lowest income people, the most vulnerable populations. And as Persephone said, this isn't going to fix anything. And as Conyers said, I mean, this is cruel and it's counterproductive and it's cold-hearted. This is just going to make it even worse for these people. He says, quote, "Water cutoffs are not a pathway to financial solvency. To the contrary, actions that deny residents the ability to cook and clean for themselves and their families create costly long-term challenges related to dysfunction and disease. I'm talking about babies, the sick, and the elderly going without the most essential life-sustaining substance because of a bad business decision. The failure to reinstate water service means unsanitary conditions, malnutrition, and disease. Ultimately, it means more people forced to leave the city, further depleting the tax base and worsening the financial position of public entities like the water department." And I think there's a number of good points raised in there besides the public health concern, which is just this doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint. You're going to force people to leave or make it even harder for them to pay. I mean, if you have no running water in your house, at that point you're verging very close to being homeless, and with all the problems that brings in terms of holding down a job and, keeping your kids in school. And people are going to have to leave. They're not going to be able to pay for these things. And the water authority and folks are probably going to make even less money rather than getting people to pony up. This is not a culture of people saying, "Oh, I don't have to pay," or, "I don't feel like paying." This is that people would pay if they had the money. Or in many cases, as I said before, they are paying and their landlords are not then turning over that money and forwarding that to the local government. Any additional points?
You seem to have covered most of it, I would say.
All right, Persephone, thank you so much for joining me again this week to talk about this issue.
And thank you very much for having me.
All right, well, we hope to have you back very soon on a number of upcoming episodes this summer. Arsenal for Democracy will return in a moment with more from our other contributors. Stay tuned.